Welcome to the Engineering Influence Podcast, presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by the ACEC Life Health Trust. Today, it's my pleasure to welcome back to the program Richard Branch, Chief Economist for Dodge Data and Analytics. Last week, Richard released Dodge's updated economic forecast, and he's here to talk with us about it. In the show notes, you'll find links to four online forecasts that Dodge did over the past couple of weeks, in which they provide both a national forecast and a regional forecast.
Richard, thanks for coming back onto the program.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, so let's start with what's of most interest to ACEC member firms, some level of long-term federal infrastructure investment in the coming months. Your forecast doesn't factor in either the administration's or the Senate Republicans' plans. You chose a more middle-of-the-road approach. Can you tell us how you came up with those numbers?
Sure. What it really boiled down to as it relates specifically to the American Jobs Plan as released by the president back at the end of March is that when we looked at the overall cost of the program as well as the pay-fors, and in particular the increase in the corporate tax rate, we just felt that was really that the chances of that making its way through Congress as is was pretty low, and not necessarily because of Senate Republicans, but due to significant pushback from moderate Democrats like Senator Joe Manchin. So what we did is we essentially looked at the construction dollars that were allocated in the Biden plan. That was around $1 trillion in construction-related funds, and you'll note that I'm using the word construction related as opposed to infrastructure, because there were dollars allocated to things like affordable housing and schools and hospitals that fall outside of what we might consider traditional infrastructure. So what we did is we essentially, within the week of after Biden released his plan, is we looked at that $1 trillion and we essentially cut it in half to around $550 billion, thinking that would have a much easier time making its way through a Congress. Now, subsequent to the release of our forecast, the Republicans, of course, released their $568 billion response to the president. So coming in just a little bit north of our dollars. But regardless of which plan would make its way through, whether it's something closer to the Biden plan, whether it's something closer to the Republican counterproposal, or even something closer to ours, we'd be looking at pretty significant increases in construction activity due to infrastructure over the coming years. And we're feeling increasingly confident that something gets passed during this calendar year, just within the last 2 weeks. Negotiations between the president and Republicans seem to be moving forward. The president has lowered his dollar price tag. The Republicans have raised theirs. So it does appear to be leading to something getting passed this year, which of course is very, very good news for the industry.
Just as a nice aside, it's nice to see that the two parties in Washington can actually negotiate with each other. It's been a while since that's happened.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Although I would offer that under the surface of all the vitriol that comes out of Washington, you know, that there's broad bipartisan and bicameral support for these infrastructure dollars, whether it's the highway funds or whether it's environmental categories. So, but I agree, it's particularly good news and it's well needed in our industry.
Both of the plans contain huge numbers, and if anything close to that passes, what kind of growth do you see in the infrastructure space over the next few years?
Sure. So going on the assumption that an infrastructure package gets passed by Congress this year, it would essentially we'd start seeing the impact of that begin in calendar year 2022, although I would offer that the stronger growth from an infrastructure package would happen in 2023 and 2024. The first year tends to be a little slower in terms of the allocation of funds. The impact of that funding will last anywhere, again, depending on what the final makeup of a bill looks like, but the funding for this could last anywhere between 5 to 10 years. Highway and bridge construction would be the big winner. That's where most of the dollars were allocated in both the Biden plan as well as in the Republican counterproposal. Although we would see sizable increases in activity in some of our environmental categories, so sewer and water systems, and even stretching into our electric power category.
And you also, I mean, obviously it's a full economic forecast that you do. Mm-hmm. How will this package, the infrastructure package, on top of the previous stimulus packages we've had, the one in, I guess it was in March, the smaller one in last December, and then of course all the way back to the CARES, how will they impact the whole economy over the next few years?
Yeah, great question. So significantly is the short answer. If you compare the two, though, the COVID relief bill, at least the most recent one that was passed back in March, that had an immediate positive impact in the economy. And that impact should continue to last probably through the midpoint of 2022. So it was a very, I don't want to use the word small, but targeted. It was a very targeted and intense relief package. Now, compare that to an infrastructure bill, again, if something closer to the Biden plan gets approved, you know, that's significantly close to perhaps $2 trillion worth of spending. That would last over a longer period of time, again, anywhere from 5 to 10 years. So the impact on any given individual year would be less, but in total, obviously, it would last a lot longer. And I think that's just the direct effect of an infrastructure bill. You also need to consider the indirect effects. So making our transportation system more efficient, improving logistics and safer, better drinking water, as well as perhaps more broadband in rural areas. Again, those all help with productivity, which gives that secondary boost to the economy well past when dollars from the bill would run out.
One sort of cloud on the horizon is the potential for inflation. I mean, especially in our industry, in construction, with building materials, the price of building materials climbing rapidly. I think in your presentation last week, you said that the construction materials increased 24% year over year, with wood products leading the way. What's behind this rapid rise, and what impact will that have on our sector over the next few years?
Sure. Great question. And I think the short answer is that supply, quite frankly, just hasn't kept up with demand. Lumber prices are a great example of that. When the pandemic hit, sawmills and production was essentially cut off. Plants were closed, production fell, supply fell. Now, as the economy weakened, you know, in April, May, June 2020, one would have expected that the housing market would have followed that downturn in the economy like it traditionally does. But of course, the opposite was true. Housing took off like a rocket, both in terms of new construction as well as just home improvements. So the demand for lumber and material prices rose significantly, despite the fact that supply was headed in the opposite direction. And of course, what ended up was a significant uptick in prices. Now, even as the economy is rebounding, there are still significant upward pressure on prices, because production still isn't back to where it was prior to the pandemic. It does look as though labor is one of the key issues here facing the manufacturing sector. There are currently 550,000 open jobs in the manufacturing sector. That is the highest number of open jobs for manufacturing going back almost 20 years. Now, we do expect, as the year progresses, that the housing market will cool off slightly relative to what it did in 2020, and that as production starts to catch up with where it was prior to the pandemic, that we'll start to see prices level off and indeed start to ease back towards the end of this year and into 2022. So where does that leave us over the short term? It is really a significantly negative impact here on our sector. It will certainly lead to project delays and cancellations. I would offer that in terms of what sectors are most exposed to this run-up in material prices, even beyond lumber. I would think, first of all, the residential sector is heavily exposed to that, as well as I would say the public side of the market as well. I think the private side of the market certainly will feel the impact, but perhaps not to the same degree as perhaps the public side or the residential side of the market.
Talking about single-family activity, you found that the farther that one goes away from the metro downtowns, the activity in both single family and multifamily strengthens. Is this driven by the pandemic, by rising home prices?
Beyond that started, some of that started before the pandemic. This was as the millennials have aged and are moving on to kids and families, and that tends to push people out into the suburbs for more space and better schools. So that was happening even prior to the pandemic. Of course, the pandemic turned that up to 11 and really drove this exodus out of those major city centers. And that has been augmented by rising home prices. The Case-Shiller Home Price Index is up 13% from where it was a year ago. That is a significant uptick in house prices, as well as this continuation in the trend of more work from home or work from anywhere. It gave people more flexibility to go much further afield in terms of where they would choose to live. Now the next question is will this continue now that the pandemic seemingly has eased and restrictions are coming off businesses and whatnot? Circle back to how I started this answer, and yeah, I do think it continues, but perhaps not to the same degree or not at the same pace that we saw over the last 12 months. The spin-off effects from this, even as it cools or even as it settles back to a more normal pace of movement out of these dense urban areas, the spin-off effects for that for commercial construction, you know, retail and some activity will follow that residential. Institutional, you'll need schools, you'll need healthcare buildings, and infrastructure. We'll need roads, we'll need rail, we need sewers, and we need water. So this has, even at a slower pace, this has a very significant, it will have a very significant impact on construction activity for the foreseeable future.
Well, that's good news. One area that's been going just gangbusters the past couple of years has been warehouse activity. I think in your talk you said that they've set records after records after records. How long can that continue before they hit capacity?
Yeah, that's the big question right now as we look at the warehouse sector. In terms of what we're seeing, we continue to see in our data, and again, we're tracking projects at the project level, we're tracking them all the way through their life cycle from planning through to groundbreaking. And what we continue to see in the warehouse sector is this push towards multi-million square foot properties all through the life cycle chain of a project from conception to planning and then to groundbreaking. So there are more than enough of those large projects to keep this market sustained for the foreseeable future. We're thinking that it starts to peak out in 2023. Of course, all this happening just due to the insatiable demand for online shopping. We are starting to see, though, some anecdotal reports and evidence that these big warehouse developers and owners like Amazon in particular are starting to lease and buy vacant big box space in the suburbs. So think of an empty Costco or BJ's or something like that, that they can quickly convert to a smaller distribution hub to use for that last mile of delivery. We've not seen that come through in our data just yet, just because our data is so overpowered by these multi-million square foot properties that are popping up like dandelions across the grass across the United States.
Another sector that's been growing rapidly has been data centers. And contrary to my sense that warehouse activity will have to sort of hit capacity at some point, it seems like the digitization of everything, so suggest that data centers can just grow ad infinitum.
Yes, spot on. The data center market will continue to grow and expand as more of us are working from home, more data needs in terms of streaming video and more cloud work, absolutely. And there could be kind of a spin-off or spillover effect from an infrastructure package to the data center market. It's unlikely that data center developers would get any cash directly from an infrastructure bill, but if there are significant enough dollars towards building out broadband, particularly rural broadband capacity, those data center developers could benefit from that because we'll continue to need to move those gigabytes across the country in fairly rapid fashion.
And finally, the office market, renovations, which seem to be very strong. You said they accounted for nearly half of all activity in the first quarter of 2021, and which is up from a historical average of about 33%. Do you see that continuing, that trend of renovations sort of running at a higher level than in the past?
Certainly not at the same pace that it was in the first quarter. You mentioned that the average rate of renovations or the share of renovation activities, you know, in the mid to low 30s. We do expect it to remain, though, above average, at least through 2021. And I would even offer through the first half or the first three quarters of next year as well. All this happening as owners and landlords prepare for workers to come back to the office. So what they're doing is they're adding more physical barriers in perhaps open office space. They're improving plumbing aspects, so more touchless toilets and washing, hand washing facilities and whatnot in bathrooms, touchless door opening, as well as even just air handling and HVAC systems to improve the air quality within the building. So I do think this continues that trend towards higher share of office renovation until we've reached more of that equilibrium level of folks coming back to the office, which should start to happen towards the end of this year and through mid 2022.
Well, great. I think that sort of covers the high points. Your forecast is available. I think you talked for 40 minutes plus, I guess, a 20-minute local or regional forecast. We'll have those in the show notes for our listeners to listen to. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. My pleasure. And hope we can do it again soon.
And you've been listening to the Engineering Influence podcast presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies and sponsored by the Life Health Trust. Thanks so much for listening.